heaven and say, only God could have done this. And that's how he gets glory. And so they didn't want to be showing off. God wanted to show them a memorable act of his power that could only be attributed to him. Now let's go back to Scripture. And we're going to go over to chapter 7, because that's going to bring us up to where we are right here in this part of the story. Chapter 7, let's begin reading in verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee, that's his army, are what? Too many. Isn't that interesting? You've got 32,000, you have way, way less than the enemy army, but it's too many. He said, too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel, watch, lest Israel vaunt themselves, puff themselves up, get proud. Lest they vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Verse 3, now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned, watch this, of the people, 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Wow. So God says, Gideon, you've got too many. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to proclaim to the army, okay, whoever's afraid, whoever's scared to death, whoever's shaking in their shoes, you can go home now. Before this battle starts, you can go home. And 22,000 of them said, oh, good, that's me. Packed up their gear and went home. It left Gideon 10,000. So we see this huge reduction in his army. We must remember to give God the credit when he gives us victory, any victory or blessing. Any blessing that comes into our lives is not because of us, it's because of God. Amen? Every blessing, every good gift cometh from above. After God told Gideon that the Israelite army had too many, he began taking these steps to let them, you know, let these go home if they wanted to, the fearful ones. And so they did. With that one announcement, Gideon lost 22,000 soldiers. Now the army only had 10,000. But listen, but God wanted the army even smaller. To Gideon, this decrease in numbers didn't make sense. Yet he was obedient and did what the Lord asked. He had learned to trust the Lord. Very important lesson. You see, up until now, God's been growing his faith. And his faith has been growing, I should say. And he, all the way from who, me? Are you talking, you know, he's looking around, who's the Lord? Who's this angel calling mighty man of valor? He's looking around to see, well, he's the only one there. Lord, are you talking to me? And we saw the passage last week. We didn't look at it today, but he basically, I quoted it earlier, that he said, you know, our tribe is the smallest, my family is really nobody, and I'm the least in my family, and are you sure you're talking to the right guy? And God assures him that he was, and has grown him, grown his faith up until this point. Now it's testing time. But because he has grown his faith thus far, and because he has learned along the way, we can't go back and rehearse all this was last week, but because along the way he has learned to trust his God, then he's trusting him now. This sure doesn't make sense to Gideon. You know, it's like the story in Joshua where they had to march around the walls of Jericho 7 times. You know, no swords, no catapults, no spears, no weapons. You're going to march around quietly 7 times. And on that 7th time, you're going to shout. Now, I'm sure that Joshua's like, I've never seen a military campaign like this before. This isn't the way we usually do things. Usually it's swords and shields and spears and so on. And God said, no, trust me. And so they did. And on that 7th time around, the walls came tumbling down. Now that's not a fairy tale. That was a true event that actually happened. And so it is here that Gideon had learned to trust his God. And you know, you and I need to come to that place where we trust God. I mean, of course, initially trust him for salvation, to trust you, to trust Him with your never-dying soul, because we all will spend eternity someplace one day after we die, either heaven or hell. And God allows us to make the choice of where we're going to spend eternity while we're here on earth alive. After we die, it's too late to decide. That's why the Bible tells us, behold, today is the day of salvation. And so, but after we're saved, we need to come to the place where we trust the Lord. Because, mark it down, He will, at times in your life, do things and bring about circumstances that to you make zero sense. And at times you may find yourself as a Christian saying, Lord, what are you doing? Or Lord, what is going on? I don't understand what this is all about. And He may quietly whisper to you, listen, my child, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Do you believe God knows what He's doing? Sure. He is always in control. And as crazy as our world is right now, right this very moment, you know, we were talking last night, there's not a single, not to our knowledge, there's not a single church open in my wife's homeland of Australia. And that's crazy. And they arrest the pastors immediately if they try to open up. And so we live in a crazy world. It's a lot of crazy things going on. Do you think God's unaware? Oh, He knows all about it. And He'll use it for His purposes. But I can guarantee you this. He knows exactly what's going on. We need to trust Him. And so this lesson is important for us today in 2021 that we say, Lord, I need to trust You. No matter how weird it seems, no matter what You're asking me to do, shrink my army. You know, here we see this incredible shrinking army. This doesn't make any sense to me, but Lord, I trust You. I've learned to trust You, and I'm going to continue to trust You. That ought to be our testimony. Amen? Well, let's go on here. So I wanted to pause there and really hit that, because that is such an important lesson, because we're, as humans, we want to fix things ourselves. We want to find the solution ourselves. And God says, just let me take care of it. Trust me. And we must learn to do that. Well, the next thing is for God wants Gideon now to take his army down to the river. You say, why is that? What are they going to do now? What's up? Well, we'll read it here in a second, but God told Gideon, I want you to take your men now down to the river, these 10,000 remaining, and I want you to tell them to drink from the river. And basically it goes something like this. He said, I want you to watch those who just get into the river and just start lapping up the water. He goes, those ones you don't want. You're going to send those home. But I want you to watch specifically now for the ones who crouch down to the water, the riverbank, and they're doing this. They're watchful. And they're bringing the water up to their mouth and keeping watch while they're drinking the water. He says, those are the ones you want to keep. And so that was the next step for Gideon, was to take the men down to the river. So let's read that. This is chapter 7. We're already in 7. Let's pick it up in verse 4 now. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. We went from 32,000 to 22,000, now down to 10,000. Now He's saying they're still too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, and some shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought them down, or he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. In other words, set him aside. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. So they're getting down in the water, like he explained it, like a dog, basically, and lapping up the water. Verse 6, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. These are the ones that did it the way God was watching for them to do it. But the rest of the people bowed down their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 now, so the men that did it the way he wanted, they kept watch. They didn't just jump in like a dog. They were very careful. That was 300 men. So he says, by the 300 that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into to thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. Verse 8, so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, into his tent, and retained those 300, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So we see this further reduction. How many men does he have now? 300. 300, wow. And he started with 32,000, and even that was only one-sixth of what the Midianites had. So this seems like a suicide mission, doesn't it? It's like, are you serious? I'm going to go out there with 300 guys against, you know, what, 100,000 or whatever? And it's just, okay. But he's trusting the Lord. He's saying, Lord, this makes no sense to me, but I know you've got it. You've got this. You've got my back. And so he's pressing on. By faith, hear those words? By faith, Gideon trusted God's directions. And so after this step, only 300 men remained in his army. I think that brings us to a point here. Or is that it there? Yeah, God is looking today for humble, obedient men and women who will trust his word rather than lean on their own understanding. And what verse tells us that? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Right? We need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts, and so that's where we're at. Well, that night, after this reduction in army down to 300, the Lord led Gideon to spy on the Midianite camp. And there, Gideon overheard one Midianite tell about a dream that he had had, that the Midianites would in fact be defeated. Now this is the bad guys saying, I had a dream that we're going to get whooped. Gideon overheard this, overheard him telling another Midianite, obviously. And God used this dream of the bad guy to strengthen his faith. So now his faith is boosted because he heard what the enemy man said, that they would be defeated, and it really boosted his faith. Let's look at verse 13 now of chapter 7. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. For unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Boy, can you hear him now? Woo, this is awesome. Boy, arise. You know, he's saying, we've got the victory already. We haven't done anything yet. I know we're going to win. God has given us the victory. And so it really boosted his faith. Gideon was seeing God's faithfulness in action. And as a result, Gideon became faithful to God, and God continued to show Gideon more grace. All right. Now we're up to point three. Grace for a faithful man. So he's becoming more faithful because of what he's seeing God do in his life and in the midst of the Israelite army. Well, God is looking for faithful men and women today. He will bless those who are faithful in areas that may seem little to us. You know, you come here on a Saturday and clean the bathrooms and clean the church. You say, well, you know, that's not preaching or teaching the Word of God, or that's not really, you know, we're not singing, we're just cleaning the church. Don't ever say we're just cleaning the church. It may seem like a little insignificant job, but you're blessing the Lord, you're serving Him, and He blesses you because of that. There's no little jobs for the Lord. Attending church and tithing and your Bible reading, sharing the gospel with others, teaching your children to obey the Lord. Do these seem small to us? God blesses us with much when we are faithful, which is little. Little is much when God is in it, amen. In this passage, God was about to prove His faithfulness to His people. Even though they didn't know all the details, and all we know at this point is Gideon just overheard a dream. He told the man his dream about this cake that fell into the camp, rolled into a tent, and knocked over the tent. And the other man said, "That's the sword of Gideon. We're going to be wiped out." And he heard that interpretation. He went back emboldened and encouraged and ready to go. He was ready to serve the Lord within faithfulness. He knew that God knew exactly what He was doing. So it shows us a clear plan. A clear plan. Let's come back to our text in chapter 7 and pick it up in verse 16. And he divided three, this is after he had heard the dream, he heard the interpretation, he went back and said, "Arise, you know, we're going to win this battle." He divided, verse 16, the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Interesting. Verse 17, and he said unto them, "Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do." He's telling these soldiers this. We've got this, we've got a trumpet, we've got a pitcher. Inside the pitcher is what? A candle, I think I said. And so he says, when we get outside the camp, what I do, you do. Okay, so just follow me. Verse 18. "When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp. And say," or in other words, shout, I guess he's going to say, "the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And so that's the next step. He's instructing them, here's the plan. It's a clear plan. Trumpets, empty pitchers, and lamps aren't exactly what you would think would be needed to wage successful warfare. You know, we think of spears, swords, you know, in a modern day we think of rifles and, you know, cannons and howitzers and so on, grenades. And God's saying, "No, I've got a clear plan, do it my way. It may seem weird to you, but trust me." And so they're trusting. The first weapon that they had, of all things, was a trumpet or ram's horns. And that was taken in order to call for the Lord to fight for Israel. In other words, that was their, it was symbolic. There was one ram's horn for every 500 Midianites. The second weapon were lighted torches kept in the pitchers. Normally, a torch represented a unit of soldiers of perhaps 100 or more. Thus, by Gideon's army having a torch for every soldier instead of every 100, every soldier, it created an illusion that there were more soldiers than just 300. And the Midianites would see those lights. They think every light is 100 soldiers, but you get it. The third weapon were clay pitchers to hide the lights until it was time to expose them. The soldiers would crash these vessels and cause a great noise, creating confusion. It may have also created echoed sounds in the night air. And God's plan does not always fit man's logic or reason. In fact, it may seem impossible, as we seem to see, but guess what? It always works. God always has it to work out. The strategy the Lord gave was unlike anything man could devise. God divided the men into three companies and instructed them to follow Gideon's lead. They would all blow their trumpets after Gideon blew his, and they would cry, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." According to human logic, this plan seems to have been a suicide raid. But Gideon chose not to lean on his own understanding, and instead trusted the Lord. We've said that already. As the 300 Israelites stood in the middle of the night, something amazing happened. When the Midianite soldiers awakened to the sound of trumpets and lights, they assumed, because of the many lights, they assumed that there was a whole regiment of soldiers. Panicking, get this, they began swinging their swords and in fact killing each other. Israelites haven't done anything yet except make the noise and break the pitchers. Look at verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zererath and to the border of that place there, and so on. So these guys freaked out. They thought this was worse than we expected. So, and boy, they just started killing themselves off. So the Lord had a clear plan. Listen, when your relationship with God is right and you are following His plans, He will give you the victory. Oftentimes, how we fail at this is we don't think the Lord has it figured out. We want to do it our own way. We don't trust Him, and then we fail. And that's exactly what would have happened if Gideon said, "I'm going to do this my way." He would not have had that victory. Letter B, a complete victory. After 120,000 Midianites died that day, I said 120,000, they just killed them among themselves, there were still 15,000 left. Gideon was tired after all this, but he had to pursue this final group and finish the work that God had for him to do. Look at chapter 8 now, and verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 3,000 men that were with him, 300 men, sorry, faint, interesting, so they're tired, they're faint, it says, yet pursuing them. Notice the number he has with him. How many, is it 299 now? Is it 250? No, it's still 300. Haven't lost a single man. God is giving the victory because they're doing it God's way. They're trusting in the Lord. That shows us this. When we are following God's plan, we never have to settle for a partial victory. We can see a complete victory for God's glory. Amen? We can see a complete victory for God's glory, yeah. So, without reading any further, we're out of time, but it goes without saying, God gave a great victory. Now, rewind the tape all the way back to Gideon with those long threshing instruments, beating the wheat, just a normal guy, beating the wheat at the wine press of all places, and the angel shows up and says, "Hey, mighty man of valor, you talking to me?" And from that point up into this mighty, mighty victory with 300 men, some 135,000 Midianites are wiped out. God gave the victory, a complete victory. And it's because that Gideon trusted God, followed His plan, did it God's way, trusted Him. That's what we have to do. God can use you just as He used Gideon. You believe that this morning? You should. God can use you just like He used Gideon. And lastly, He desires to give you the grace to fight fear and build faith. That's exactly what happened in Gideon's life. He started out fearful. "Lord, are you talking to me? Are you sure I'm the right guy for this? What? You want me to lead the army? What? I can't do that. I'm a nobody. I'm just a little short guy. I'm all skinny and everything. No, I can't." And God says, "Yes, you can. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you my plan. I'm going to give you the victory. And so he gave him the grace to fight against that fear, and he built his faith all along the way, right up until this great victory. Amen. All right, well, next week, Brother Mike is going to bring our lesson.